Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to 2 Timothy, the book of 2 Timothy this morning. It's good to have you here on this Mother's Day. And I trust that as we say a few things about mothers and take a break from our study in Daniel, that it will be encouragement to all the women here and to everyone as well. 2 Timothy chapter 1. The first five verses, Paul's writing a letter to Timothy, his young disciple. In this opening few verses, the introduction here and salutation, there are some precious nuggets of truth that come out in the words that Paul writes. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. The will of God is precious, isn't it? And to be a believer, next to being in Christ, to be in God's will is a wonderful thing. We have, if we're in Christ, if we're saved, we have the promise of life which comes only through Jesus Christ. No other faith, no other religion offers us eternal life, a relationship with the true and living God other than the God of the Bible, the God of Scripture. He says to Timothy, a beloved son. Now, as we read these verses, you're going to notice a number of things that Paul mentions about Timothy that are special blessings that he has. This is the first. He calls Timothy a beloved son. He's a son in the faith to Paul. He's also a beloved son to the Lord Jesus Christ in that sense. He's also a beloved son to his grandmother and his mother. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. And here's another blessing that Timothy enjoys from the sovereign, gracious, merciful hand of God. He has given grace, mercy, and peace. If that's all we have in life, if that's the only thing we have in life, we are indeed wealthier and richer than all the people of the world if we have from God grace, mercy, and peace. He says, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did. Paul served the Lord with a pure conscience. That should be something that we all aim for, that we would love God sincerely, with sincere faith. He says, and without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers night and day. That's another blessing Timothy has. How would you like to be able to say that you have the Apostle Paul as a prayer warrior for you? When people who walk with God, people who love the Lord, people who are known for their deep faith and their strong commitment to Christ, when those kinds of people tell you, I'm praying for you, I'm holding you up in prayer, we cherish the prayers of all people, but when there are those who are eminent saints, who really truly know how to get the ear of God, who know what it is to draw near to the throne of grace, to be a part of that heavenly council, what a blessing it is. And how it must have thrilled Timothy to hear this from the Apostle Paul, that I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I might be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. Paul, in his opening statement, says, Timothy, I recall, and as I pray for you, and I delight in praying for you, I recall that in your life you have genuine faith. The Authorized Version calls it unfeigned faith. It's genuine, sincere, faith without hypocrisy. He says, Timothy, I know that in your heart, you don't just mouth words and have no life behind it. You, what you profess, what you confess, you actually live. And I remember you night and day in my prayers, and I'm mindful of this genuine faith that is in you. But notice what he says following that. He says, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois. He's reminding Timothy that you come from a wonderful family, a family with spiritual people in that family that had also genuine faith, who walked the walk and lived a life glorifying to God. When I think of this genuine faith that was in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm persuaded in you also. Timothy had this genuine faith. It was something that came from his grandmother, passed on to his mother, and then it passed on. There was a generations of people who knew God, who loved the Lord, and were passing on this faith, and it came to Timothy. And from this passage, we see that Timothy was blessed with a lot of things, but amongst them, he had women in his life that were godly women. He had a grandmother and a mother who were godly, who loved the Lord, who had genuine faith. And if you have a mother who knows the Lord, if you're in a family with a godly heritage, it is a priceless thing. Let's bow together, please, in prayer and ask the Lord to speak to us as we look at His Word today. Let's bow together. Our Father and our God, we are grateful for the gospel of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news that we celebrate and proclaim to the nations of the earth. We're grateful for all the special gifts that come down from You, the Father of lights. We're grateful for every blessing that we have in life. For life itself, Father, is a gift, and saving faith is a gift, and our justification covered in the righteousness of Your Son and washed in His blood and being a part of a church family. All of these things that we could mention and so many more are blessings from Your hand. Your kind and gracious hand to us, Your unworthy people. Father, we rejoice today that we, on this Mother's Day, can pause and give thanks to You for the heritage that we've had, the wonderful mothers that we've had, the blessings that we receive from them. And Father, we would desire that the women in our church would be godly, holy, faithful women without hypocrisy. Unfeigned faith might be found in all of their lives. And in all of us as well. Father, bless these few verses that we look at today as we think of Timothy, as we think of his grandmother and mother who had unfeigned faith. We pray that this might be a blessing to all of us in a measure today. We'll give You the praise. We ask this for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, Timothy, as I said, he had these great blessings. He was a beloved son. He received from God grace, mercy, and peace. He had the Apostle Paul who prayed for him, not just every now and then, but day and night he prayed for him and remembered him. And Timothy had this genuine saving faith. To have saving faith is a precious gift from God, because saving faith is a gift from the sovereignty of God. But God uses means many times to bring that faith to our hearts, and in Timothy's case, it was a godly grandmother and mother. What a blessing it is to think that Timothy had this heritage. I don't know about all of you today what your heritage is. I stand here this morning as I think of Mother's Day, and I've had some of the most incredible women involved in my life. My mother is an amazing woman, an amazing mother. I couldn't think of a more precious mother. And I think everyone feels that way about their mom, but I would go on and on. If you were to ask me, tell me what makes your mother special, I'd be here long after this, sir, you'd be leaving, because I'd be going on and on. She is a remarkable person. Over the years, a dear friend, a counselor, prayer warrior to me, an encouragement. What a blessing my mother's been. And a godly wife. I've been blessed with a wonderful wife. I've got wonderful sisters and sister-in-laws. My mother-in-law was one of the most godly women, a southern lady from Mississippi. I have been blessed. And I can't thank the Lord enough for these wonderful ladies that He's put in my life. And the blessing doesn't stop there. I've had, over the last 35, 36 years, incredible women at Berean Baptist Church that I've had the privilege to know. Many of the elderly women here who have been a blessing. A lot of the younger ladies. We have some very special women in this church, and I'm thankful for all of you. We give God thanks and glory for the ladies in our lives, and the mothers, the grandmothers, and all those who are here. Now, over the years, when I've spoken at Mother's Days, oftentimes, I know how difficult it is to be a mother. And sometimes, I also know that sometimes that the men have a tendency not to appreciate their wives as they ought, or to help out as much as they should. And so I've had a tendency to really come at the guys and really get at them. And so some people have said, man, you've been pretty hard on the men. It's guys, you understand. I know the wife is the weaker vessel, and she's a special gift from the Lord. And my exhortations to you are simply to love your wives as Christ loved the church. To take that seriously. We say that in wedding ceremonies when people come together. But I tell you this, most of the problems in marriages and in families and homes, most of those things would clear up if men would love their wives as Christ loved the church. Well, I trust that that you will certainly do that. Came across a story about a man named Cyrus Dallin, who's one of America's great sculptors, a number of years ago. He was a famous sculptor, and also he had a mother that was a pioneer woman. And he was called upon to make a statue, a statue for Boston. And it was going to be called the Pioneer Mother. And the day of the unveiling, his mother was there, and a large crowd gathered, and they pulled the canvas away, and here's this statue that he had made of a pioneer woman. She had a Bible in one hand, held to her breast, and in the other hand, grasped the hand of a child, and she was looking into the future, like looking out ahead, with a Bible in one hand here, and the other hand holding a child. And he called it the Pioneer Mother. And in the discussion of how he did this, he said, I used my own mother as an example for this statue. And his mother was there, and she said, I don't know if that looks like me, but she said, it does. It feels like me, because she said, I did love the Bible, and I did take my hand down, and I led my children. There's something about that. A mother who holds the Bible to her heart and reads it to her children, who has an eye looking to the future, looking out to the dangers and the trials, the difficulties ahead, with a hand on your children, leading them along, and then a mother who lives in the spirit of prayer, that is a wonderful mother. That is a gracious mother. A mother's influence can be good. It can be bad. If a mother is walking with the Lord, she can have tremendous influence on her children. If she's a mother who does not take her duties seriously, who does not pray or read the Bible to her children, she could possibly can be setting in motion things that will be damaging to the children for many years to come. One mother was once asked, who was successful in raising her family, well, what was it that helped you with your family? And she said something like this. She said, when I would wash the faces of my children, as I washed their faces, I would pray over them, O Lord, may they be washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. And when I put their clothes on at night, I would pray, O God, in your mercy, would they be found amongst your elect, and may they be covered by the righteousness of your Son, the Lord Jesus. And when she'd prepare meals for them, as she was cooking the dinners, she would, and set the meals before them, she would be praying, O Lord, may my children know what it is to feast on the Word of God and dine on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they go to bed at night, she would pray, oh Lord, may they be safe, asleep in the arms of God and be protected. And she always turned every little thing into a way of praying for her children. And these are things that we ought to do for our families and for our children. Mothers ought to understand how important it is, the role you have as a mom. But in the text that we have here in the book of 2 Timothy, we see that the grandmother and the mother of Timothy, they had unfeigned faith, this genuine faith. I want to talk just briefly here this morning about what it is to be a mother with this genuine faith. Again, as my habit is, I have 3 points. I don't have a poem this morning, so I'll have to think of one maybe along the way. What is genuine faith? How does a mother acquire genuine faith? And what are the characteristics of genuine faith? I got here early this morning, was in the narthex and talking to Johnny Miller, and we were talking about confession of faith, professions of faith, and we got discussing about what is the evidence of someone really who really knows the Lord. I will share some of that with you. When Paul writes to Timothy and says, I'm aware that you have genuine faith in your life. That is faith that's not filled with hypocrisy. That dwelled first in your grandmother, and now in your mother, now in you. We'll look at what this genuine faith is. What is genuine faith? The phrase, the word genuine, comes from the Greek word anupakritos. It's a kind of a difficult Greek word, anupakritos. It means, as the authorized version says, unfeigned. It means without hypocrisy. There's no play acting. There's no flim-flam, no sham in this. It's not disguised. It's sincere. It's a faith that's real. Too many times people have faith, but it's not a genuine faith. They talk a good talk, but they don't walk a good walk. There are different places in the scripture where this word genuine faith or genuine is used in the context of other things that we're to have. Keep in mind, the word genuine means without hypocrisy. It's sincere. There's no play acting. There's no, like in the old Greek, a hypocrite was someone who put a mask on. He was one thing behind the mask, you know, with the mask on, but behind it, he was totally different. So what does the Bible say about this word unfeigned? What, in other contexts, how is it used? In Romans chapter 12, verse 9, Paul says, Let love be without hypocrisy. Mothers, fathers, all of us in the church, we are to love one another without hypocrisy. It's easy to say, I love you. It's another thing to demonstrate it by the way you live. It's the same word, anupakritos, when it says, let love be without hypocrisy. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul says, he speaks of sincere love. Again, the same thought of love. He says, let love be without hypocrisy in 2 Corinthians 6. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, Peter says, the believers should have a sincere love for the brethren. The same word used. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, Paul again exhorts that believers should have sincere faith. That is, unfeigned faith. And then one last reference in the New Testament where this word anupakritos is used is James chapter 3. In that text, James says, let those who have wisdom that comes from above, that wisdom from above is pure, it's peaceable, and it's without hypocrisy. That's the anupakritos, the same word there. It's sincere. The wisdom that comes from God is without hypocrisy. The word faith, to believe, is pistuos, the Greek verb, and the noun is pistis. And what we have here, when someone has genuine faith, it is a faith that's real, it's deep, it abides in the heart, it connects you to God. It's not filled with hypocrisy, it is a living faith. Which brings me to my second point, is how does a mother, how does a woman, how does anyone receive this genuine faith? I urge all of you to be believers in Christ. We preach the gospel and we call men to repentance. We ask people to put their faith in the Lord. And there are human responsibilities that we must come to Christ, repent, turn from our sin, put our faith in Christ. But if you do any of that, if you repent and come to Christ, if you put your faith in Him, it's because grace has come to you. Saving faith is a gift from God. We know that what Paul says, we're not saved by works, but by faith. And that is a gift from God, not of works, as any man should boast. When a person has this saving faith, there are three things that are true of a person with saving faith. First of all, a genuine faith, saving faith, the gift from God, has a deep conviction that the object of your faith is something that's worthy to be believed in. Now, what is the object of our faith this morning? Brothers and sisters, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Word of God. We have conviction. We have the utmost conviction that this book is true. There cannot be saving faith, a genuine faith, without this deep conviction that this saving faith and that this object of our faith is real. Secondly, it involves surrender. It's not enough to say, I believe in Christ. I believe that He's the Son of God. I believe all these gospel truths. But somehow, I'm going to live my life independently. I've got this knowledge and I'm convicted of it that it's true. But conviction needs to lead to surrender. And somewhere along the way, the grandmother and the mother of Timothy were people who had faith. They had conviction, but they were surrendered to God. And then thirdly, these people who had this saving faith, they would have a changed life that would indicate that grace has come to them. So just as an aside to moms and dads today, you're raising your children, mothers, you're praying for your kids, and you say, Pastor Dickey, how do I know if my children really know the Lord? They make profession of faith, they say they're the Lord's. How do I really know that they're going to be in glory if they were to die right now? The only thing I could say to you is, it's one thing to have profession. It's one thing that they confess. That's wonderful. But most important, is there a changed life? Is there any evidence in their heart that they really know the Lord? Do they love the church, the body of Christ? Do they love to worship? Do they love the Word of God? Do they love the brethren? John, in his little epistle, 1 John, gives a number of examples of the evidence if a person is really born of God. Let me read what he says in 1 John. 6 characteristics of genuine faith. In 1 John 2:29, the person who is born again, who really knows the Lord, they practice righteousness. That means it's the habit of their life to do what is good and right, holy and pure. 1 John 3:9, it says the person who really knows the Lord, they do not sin. Doesn't mean that they're sinless. It means they don't continue in sin as a lifestyle. 1 John 3:14, they love the brethren. They love the brothers and sisters in Christ. 1 John 5:1, they believe that Jesus is the Christ. 1 John 5:4, they are overcoming the world. They're overcomers. And 1 John 5:18, they keep themselves unspotted and pure. It's one thing to believe in Christ. We take one of these six and say, oh, my child, my son, my daughter, my wife, my husband, they're a Christian because they believe in Christ, but they forget the other five evidences. All must be there. Well, Timothy was a blessed young man. Besides having the Apostle Paul pray for him, besides receiving these gracious gifts from the Lord, he had a godly grandmother and a godly mother. They had unfeigned faith, and that unfeigned faith was transmitted through one to the other and eventually down to Timothy. On this Mother's Day, I want to encourage the mothers here. First of all, ask yourself, do I have unfeigned faith? Is my faith living and real and sincere? Do you have such faith? And if you do have such faith, you know, what are you doing to transmit it, to pass it on to the next generation? We've looked at what is genuine faith. We've asked, how does a mother acquire it? It's a gift from God. What are the characteristics of this genuine faith? I've given you some examples to share. John Wanamaker was one of America's most successful businessmen and merchants. And someone asked him one day, they said, Mr. Wanamaker, what was the most important moment in your life? One of the most profound moments. What would you say? And there's so many things that this successful multimillionaire could have shared, but he said this. He said, the most profound moment in my life was when my godly mother took my two little hands and had me kneel down, and she taught me about Jesus and led me by faith to put my trust in him. A godly mother who prayed for him and led him to the Lord was the most profound moment in his life. Another man named John Starkey was a very malicious British criminal. Murdered his wife, was convicted of the crime, and later he was executed. They asked William Booth of the Salvation Army if he would do the ceremony, and there were quite a rough group of men that gathered at this funeral. But Booth said this to these men. Here's a man who murdered his own mother, was a vicious and violent man, a vicious temper, terrible person. And one thing he said about this man, he said he did not have a praying mother. When you have a praying mother, a mother like Lois and Eunice, a godly mother, you have a very precious gift indeed. Mothers should pray day and night for their children. They should live a life that's holy. They should teach them the Word of God, and they should do all they can to lead their children to Christ. It's not easy being a mother today. Now, I've got a dear friend in our church. You all know this young man. He's a young man compared to me, but he's not a kid. Craig Sweezy. Is Craig here this morning? I see Craig in the back, and he's often teases me. He says, you know, Pastor, I think he likes the jingle here. He says, it ain't easy being Sweezy. He says that to me. I've never asked him why is it not easy. I've never asked him that, but he teases me with that little saying. I'm going to say it ain't easy being a mother. It is not easy. Craig, might not be easy being Sweezy, but it's not easy for Bethany being a mother, not being married to you, but being a mother. Ladies, I know it's not easy for you to be a mother. I know that. I know it, and it breaks my heart to think of the burdens you carry. Why is it so difficult to be a mother? Because the responsibility of being a mother, it's never ending. We can walk away from our jobs. We can get away from things, but a mother can never get away from those responsibilities God's given her, those precious gifts from heaven. She also knows as a mother that these responsibilities in raising her children has eternal consequences. Eternal consequences. And these things are on her heart day and night. Mother also knows that often the responsibility of being a godly mother in our culture today is not respected or appreciated. The world seems to mock and reject the whole idea of motherhood and scorns it. Being a mother that is at home with her children is something that's kind of made fun of today. Why is it not easy being a mother? Because it's a position, it's a responsibility that calls for total sacrifice. It calls truly to die to self. If you want an example of what it means to die to self, just look at the wives and the mothers in our church. They have to die to self on a daily basis. The burdens they carry, the opportunities they have, and all that. And it's an exhausting responsibility, never ending. It's difficult being a mother because a mother is called upon to wear many hats. In a sense, she's a shepherd, a teacher, a nurse, a policeman, a disciplinarian, an umpire, administrator, cook, activity coordinator, angel of mercy, counselor, servant, encourager, exhorter, guiding light, prayer warrior, sympathizer. She does all these things, and many times without appreciation. Sometimes we take our wives or our mothers for granted, and children can sometimes be a little bit unruly and be sassy. And as they get older, they test it. But oh, what a gift if you've got a godly mother, how much we should honor them and love them today, and you should tell them that and express to them how special they are to your heart. It's not easy being a mother, but Timothy had a godly grandmother and mother. Their sincere faith was passed on to him. It's not too late. It's not too late, mothers. If your faith has not been that genuine, if it's not been that pure, if it's not been that dedicated, it's not too late to walk with God. If there are things you need to confess, if you need to go to your children and make things right, it is not too late to be a mother like Lois and Eunice. It's not too late to day by day get on your knees before the Lord and pray for those children that are in your home and beg with God that he might number them amongst the elect. It's not too late that you would pray, oh Lord, open the eyes of my children's soul that they might see their need of Christ. And if you are doing these things, salvation is of the Lord. And we can't control that. We can do our best to lead our children to the Lord and point them to Christ, but salvation must come from him. And there are many, many people who have seen their children brought to faith in Christ early in life. And there are many that sometimes don't see it, and there are some that see it not until the end. And many times a parent goes on into eternity, and later in life a young man or a man or a woman will eventually come to Christ, and they will remember, it was the prayers of my mother I couldn't escape. It was her example, her love. A mother is a prayer warrior and an evangelist. And that's how every mother should be. So I salute my mother today, my wife, and all the ladies of our church. I salute you all. I know it's a task, a responsibility that's difficult. And I praise God for you, and I pray that God will bless you, because this church will only be as strong as the godly women in this church. Well, there's a few mothers I want to honor today. And think of a few that we might talk about. for a moment. One thing we know is that motherhood is a gift from God, and children are a gift from God. And the creation mandate is to be fruitful, multiply, and to fill the earth. And so I encourage people, if at all possible, all things considered, have children and raise them for the glory of God. So this morning, I'd like to honor the mother with the most children. And I don't know who that might be. I have an idea maybe. But if you have, would every mother who has four children, would you stand? If you have four children, would you stand? All right. One. All right. If you have five children, keep standing. Well, now more came up. Okay. If you have six children, keep standing. All you have six children? It's amazing. Oh, no. Okay, some go down. Anyone have seven children? They're in the narthex? Now, is that Tim and Janelle? Anyone else with seven? All right. Craig, I've got this to give to Janelle and Tim. They won the Let's Be Fruitful Award here. God bless you. Can I tell you that when some of you folks come to the church, some of you families come, you bring half the church with you. So I appreciate that. Amen. And I encourage that children are a gift from the Lord. All right, the newest mother, the one that's, and I think I know who that might be. If you've had a baby in the last year, stand, please. If you had a baby this last year, would you stand? Just one. Two. All right, if you've had a child in the last 2 months, keep standing. Oh, one goes down. Mari, I think this goes to you. This is for her. All right, this is a special one here. This is to the youngest mother in our midst today. If you are a mother and you're 20 or younger, would you stand? Anyone that's 20 years old with a child? Anyone 20, 25 and under? All right. Anyone else? All right, you win the award, the youngest mother. Praise the Lord. And don't stop now. I mean, I want to encourage you to keep on going. Okay. Here's one. Sometimes some of the aged saints that we have, I don't see here today, but I want to honor the oldest mother that's in our midst today. If you're a mother, you're 70 years or older, would you stand? If you're any mothers that are 70 or older, all right, one, two, three, four. All right, if you're 75, keep standing. You're still standing. All right, we're going to go up. If you're 80, keep standing. Janet, are you still up? Okay, 85. If you're 85, you keep standing. One goes to, oh, all right. Dorothy, this is for you. Congratulations, the oldest mother present. God bless you today. I've got one last award I want to give out today. This is a special one. Something was brought to my attention. I said, this just deserves to be mentioned. This is the mother in our church today who's married to a prince. Now, this is not the story where you kiss the frog and he turns into a prince. This is not that story. But, you know, it is my prayer that every mother and every woman here would be married to a man who is gentle and godly and Christ-like, who expresses their love and is patient and just lives the life of Christ and is thoughtful and considerate. And something was brought to my attention today about a man in our church that every single day at lunchtime he calls his wife and tells her he loves her. I mean, that just it touched my heart. Every single day he does this. And when he goes home at night from the office, every day he calls his wife to tell her he's on his way home. I'll see you soon, honey. I love you. I said, and I know this man helps his wife and does things for her, and he's always doing, and I thought, this is really special. So the Prince Award goes to my dear friend and neighbor, Sam Beto. God bless you. Sammy, you're an example of what all of us men should be. Now, he's put us all to shame, so when you go out there, let's go throw some eggs at him. All right, no, I'm teasing. Sam, God bless you. What an example that is. God bless you. Appreciate that. Debbie, now you got to take care of that prince, all right? Amen. Moms, can I just say, as I close in prayer, I think my mother and my older brother Joe are listening to this today. I love my mom, and she's a very, very dear and special lady. And all of you women, have a great Mother's Day. Keep on walking with the Lord. Have unfeigned faith. Let your faith be sincere and full of the joy of the Lord. And lead your families and your children, your grandchildren. Keep praying for them and keep leading them to Christ. May God be pleased to smile upon this church, that we'd have godly women, godly men, and that many of our children will be drawn by irresistible grace to the most wonderful, wonderful Savior in all the world, the Lord Jesus. Let's bow together. Our Father, on this Lord's Day, we give you praise and worship you. Bless the women of our church, smile upon them, and Lord, help our families to be healthy and filled with joy and filled with the glory of the Lord. And we'll give you the praise for these things, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.